You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game edition with analyst Richard Pollock and your host, Drew Mindell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Washington Capitals just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 1-0 margin. I am Drew Mindell, the host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and the host of the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm joined by my colleague, Richard Pollock. Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk are getting audio from tonight's Jets game, and Michael Remus will pipe in every now and then as he deems fit.
Thank you.
Sorry. Apparently he deemed that fit at that point in time.
Yeah, that wasn't fit.
Yeah, I don't think that was fit either, but that's okay. It made us laugh, and it was somewhat entertaining, which is a little more than you can say for tonight's contest between the Jets and the Caps. Richard, probably the most dull game the Winnipeg Jets have played this year.
Yeah, it's amazing, Drew, the probably equally as dull for the game quality, maybe even less dull than the Phoenix game. But when you're up on the good side of 1-0 and not on the bad side of 1-0, it changes your perspective.
Certainly.
This game was a lot of nothing today.
Yeah,
a lot in the perimeter. There were some occasional chances. 3-on-1 we'll speak about later, or some chances on the side of the net. For the most part, Washington has certainly changed their style since the last time we saw them. Not that they executed it well in that game. But the Jets don't play the most exciting style. Washington's new style isn't very exciting, and I think it resulted in a more than common result in the National Hockey League these days. Tonight's was 0-0 leading into the end of the game, but generally it's 1-1 or 2-2, and chances were not aplenty.
This had all the makings of one of those proverbial three-point games, and it took until late in the third period with a minute 14 to go before the Washington Capitals scored what was the eventual game-winning goal. On a turnover just outside the Winnipeg Jets blue line, Jets captain Andrew Ladd turned the puck over. Marcus Johansson takes advantage of it, pass to Alex Ovechkin, a wrist shot through Andre Pavlich. Capitals take a 1-0 lead, and they hold on to win 1-0.
Yeah, Drew, that was a tough turnover by Ladd. He's had a few bad turnovers this year. I'm assuming he'd want that back and put it down the boards, and that's Gary is giving us heck.
Gary Lowell is giving us heck over there. Pause it for a sec. We're back after that interlude. 1-0 game.
Drew. We were speaking about the turnover at the Ladd.
Mm-hmm. The turnover at the blue line late in the third period at the 1846 mark.
That's right, Drew. And Backstrom puts it up to Johansson, who's a nifty player, and he's got a good amount of skill. And Johansson comes in, and that was the one thing I had noticed earlier in the game is, Washington's changed their style. They have a little bit more neutral zone presence, meaning more guys in the neutral zone. But I noticed they're good in transition still, especially the combination of players. Granted, seven wasn't on the ice. That was on the two of the three, being Ovechkin and Backstrom. And there's a turnover in the neutral zone. They go from defense to offense very quickly.
Yeah.
Backstrom gets the puck up. Johansson comes in. And what happened on the play is Johansson came in, and it happened it was a turnover right above the Jets, right in front of, on top of the Jets' blue line. So the defense was clearly moving up. The ice had to back up. And so the defense being Stewart and Bogosian, I believe.
That's right.
Johansson comes up, and he's a left-handed shot coming down the right side. So he's on his off wing. So Stewart doesn't know where to get up on him, but seeing Ovechkin coming, he backs up a bit. Johansson drops a puck in a great play, great offensive mind, drops a puck to Ovechkin, who's coming in from the opposite side, so they cross over.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they cross over, and that's an old hockey play, it's one of those oldie but goodies, because what happens in a crossover, generally speaking, if you jump it, meaning if Stewart jumps the crossover to read it as if it's he knows it's going to happen, Johansson just goes around him.
Right.
So, if Bogosian jumps there, then you have a bunch of open space.
Yeah.
So
the Jets are on their heels. I mean, really, it boils down to the Jets are very much on their heels, and they're almost damned if they do, damned if they don't. If they're too aggressive, the guys walk around them. If they sit back, which they did in this case, Alex Ovechkin's a professional goal scorer in this league, and he knows how to put the puck in the net.
I'm sure, right when the puck was dropped. So what happened was Johansson drops the puck, and then Ovechkin comes over, and I'm sure Stewart probably would have wanted to take one or two steps into the lane. There was not much time to do so. Ovechkin comes in. He has a clear shot on Andre Pavlik. and he gets puts it in the 5-hole with a minute 14 left, yeah. And essentially game over.
The Jets never got anything; just couldn't get anything going all night tonight. It was it was sloppy to some extent, but the pucks were just bouncing everywhere. The passes were not crisp at all. You could really see it at the end of the game, where the last 75 seconds, where the Jets now have to press to get that equalizer. They couldn't get out of their own zone. And it's not that they couldn't get out of their own zone because Washington was forechecking tremendously well. They just kept backing up and running into each other, and passes were going off of skates and over the glass. Just they were off tonight. For the first time in a number of games on home ice, they were off. Probably the most off they've been since that Florida game, which I guess about a month ago or so at this point in time.
Yeah, Drew, I absolutely agree. I thought their best players were not their best players. I
mean, yeah.
Evander Kane wasn't really that noticeable.
No.
I thought it was probably one of his worst games he's had all year. Wheeler was a little bit more effective, but aside from that, Brian Little, pretty non-existent in my opinion. I thought the GST line did a good job of limiting Ovechkin's
line does what the GST line does,
right.
Which is just they're never flashy. They're usually responsible. They chip the pucks up the board. They get it in deep. They might forecheck a bit.
Right.
They get off the ice.
Well, and they played against the Ovechkin's line for the most part tonight, so they were matched up against them. But Bogosian didn't have a great game. I thought he made a few bad reads. Bufflin wasn't noticeable.
No.
Now, that generally speaking is a good thing, but I'm talking about even offensively.
He wasn't able to, those rushes where he comes in off the boards and he takes the puck and he goes in deep around the net, where he's aggressive and they can't knock him off the puck. None of those. It was just, everybody just seemed a step slow on the Jets tonight.
And that being said, it was a winner, winner take all kind of end with 5 minutes left there. We felt like they were playing for the three-point game, both sides. And what happens is...
Right, which is what makes that lad turnover all the more critical. If he just puts it in deep, if he plays it up the boards as opposed to into the middle of the ice, intentionally or unintentionally, if it bounced off a stick or whatever.
Yeah.
If he just keeps it along the sides, everybody there is probably happy just putting it in deep, running out the last 75 seconds of the clock. You go to the overtime, somebody gets... somebody's eventually going to get the bonus point.
That's it, Drew. And you like to see... Teams obviously play for the win, but in this day and age, they want points, and especially in an intra-division game, a game that will mean so much more. You're playing Washington coming off a poor performance.
That's right.
A 5-1 loss. And so you really had to me, likely get to them early because their confidence is not there. I personally saw a system that's been amended considerably, but at the same time...
With new head coach Dale Hunter.
With new head coach Dale Hunter, of course. But at the same time, a system cannot be... varied to that significant of a level, which it really has been overnight. And so what happens is, I think Hunter's been in place for about six games,
seven games. I think he was 3-4. Yeah. He was 3-4 coming into
David
play. So
Manukover just came back from getting audio confirmed at seven games. But you notice the holes in the system, and you notice some guys not buying in. Now, before we talk about maybe some of the positive attributes and positive performances of some of the Washington players, I thought, aside from Ovechkin's goal, that line was dreadful. It was dreadful. I mean, that Semin
was invisible all night.
He was, and he wasn't even on the ice for that final goal. Backstrom was more noticeable. Ovechkin was simple. When he didn't have the puck on the stick, he was a non-factor. And he used to be a factor. The puck wasn't on the stick because of the one-timer, things like that. And aside from the power play, he wasn't. And there's two things I noticed about Ovechkin and that line's game in general. When Ovechkin and Semin play together, they don't have enough board presence to make Ovechkin's one-timer or Semin's one-timer dangerous because nobody aside from Backstrom can even, and he's not the best player on the boards, although he's not bad, can get the puck and work it down low and then pass it back out.
Which is why I was surprised you see the three of them together. I mean, play the three of them together on paper, yes, they're dynamic and they're tremendously skilled. But none of the three of them are really that willing to do the dirty work. And this is a team with a lot of guys who are willing to do that dirty work. You look at their third and fourth lines.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of those dirty work kind of guys who will go do that stuff that Ovechkin and Semin won't do. And it makes them all the more dangerous because they can then be ready with that one-timer that you mentioned.
And the other thing is, you keep the puck in the offensive zone, and that sounds such a simple thing, but break it down. The puck's in the offensive zone with that line, okay?
Yeah.
So they're not in the not in the opposing zone, attacking. But more importantly, Drew, because of their complete and total
apathy,
that's a great word, apathy to defensive coverage or defensive willingness.
Yeah.
The puck stays in there longer because of them.
That's right. They're playing 5-on-3 almost because Ovechkin and Semin aren't going to go do the little things. If it comes to them and they're able to get it out in transition, they will. But they're not that eager to really go and cause trouble for the Jets forwards at that point.
And they cheat like it's 1980s. And I'm not exaggerating, especially even Ovechkin on the Semin. essentially not even present tonight. Ovechkin will cheat behind him. And I don't mind that once in a while, especially with, say, a Mike Knubel. Now, he's had you know, his best days have passed him.
Right.
Clearly, although he's had a really nice end of the late 30s performance, surpassed many people's expectations. But when you have a guy like Knubel down low, defensively, he can throw the puck up. That helps. He can work defensively. He can work offensively on the boards. I think that mix needs to be changed. At least I haven't watched every Washington game, mind you. And then Dale Hunter, truth be told, certainly hasn't either.
Right.
So he's behind. He's trying things. And this is essentially, you know, for Dale Hunter, you have to give him some time. Remember Claude Noel, his first few games, okay. He was getting his bearings. Now, Noel, in terms of the way he's employed the Jets lineup tonight, like, for example, we've been talking about, for probably about a month, we talked about Evander Kane needing more ice time. Last time he led the forwards in ice time, tonight, he had 22 minutes and 6 seconds, which was second only to Brian Little. No problem with that. Evander Kane's getting increased ice time.
Yeah.
He's employing, the way Claude Noel's employing his players in terms of matchups, you know, starting players in the offensive zone or defensive zone for faceoffs, he's done a great job. Now, he can't. Do you blame the coach tonight for the motivation of the players? I personally don't.
I thought the motivation in this entire arena was everybody was using this as the warm up for Saturday. Everyone seemed to be saving their voices for Saturday, which we think is going to be chaos here.
Well, it will be chaos. Yeah, and that may be true in terms of the fans. And you mentioned it. The team needs to provide the fans with something to cheer about. And tonight was a prime example of having nothing to cheer about.
Well, you know, if the Jets really took the play, I thought. They took the play to Washington in that first period. They didn't get any. I mean, first period, they outshot them by a 14-7 margin. And if it wasn't for some big saves by Michael Neuwirth in the first period, yeah, the Jets could have been up 1-0, even 2-0 potentially, and this arena would have been rocking.
They outchanced them in the first period, absolutely. Yeah. And they did control the play for the most part. So I thought that was their chance to get ahead, clearly. They didn't.
Yeah.
And Washington, I think, slowly moved the play in their favor. And in the third period, there was some back and forth there, and the penalties, obviously. You know, there were many penalties tonight, but there were a couple at the end that moved it back and forth. But overall, I thought the Jets started well. Washington kind of grasped it, and then they went back and forth. I mean,
until, I thought, after the 10-minute mark of the third period for the game to loosen up a little bit. I thought it was so regimented and so systematic, for lack of a better word, in the first 40, 50 minutes of the game that that's why there was no flow to the game. But then there was a couple shifts in a row, a couple minutes sort of later in the third period, that it started going a little bit on the end-to-end side.
Yeah, one chance leads to another because
you're
taking a risk. I know, I made this observation on Twitter earlier and about the systematic play. It's a little bit off topic, but I might as well throw it in here. We saw, I think, Backstrom run into Ovechkin today.
Yeah.
And you're seeing so many of these inadvertent collisions. And it came to mind that these players are coached so much to play to a certain system that I think to a point where they're only thinking about where they are in the system, and they're not always watching the play and thinking about where to go and kind of going with the flow, so to speak. And what happens is, because their mind's working maybe too hard almost.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. They want to be able to sort of freelance, but they know that they can't. They have to work within the system, and Alex Ovechkin or whomever has to be in this position, and they're expected to be in this position all the time. That the second anybody deviates from that, it causes collisions, causes chaos in the neutral zone.
And again, I'm not going to pick up every collision on the videos, but I really do think that most of the collisions are happening at that opposing blue line when you're trying to get that neutral zone forecheck or neutral zone trap in place.
Yeah.
And again, thinking spots. Anyways, I mean, we'll talk about that more on Saturday during the radio show, but that came to mind. Overall, I thought that a paying customer tonight would likely want his money back. A win for the Jets would have made the customer happy regardless.
Sure.
A loss made them say, probably the most boring game.
There's 41 home games a year, and they're all not going to be the most dynamic things in the world. Tonight, if you normally hold the Washington Capitals, and the truth is, it's probably not a fair comment anymore, but normally, you hold the Washington Capitals one goal, you think you're going to win the game. But the truth is, they've been regimented, they've had the fun regimented out of the game like every other team in the NHL.
They have, and, And you have to wonder, and I personally do, whether the personnel fits the system right now. And that's something that, time will dictate whether or not that's the case. But right now, I mean, they're going to come out of here with the W. They're going to feel good about themselves whether or not they played a game. I thought it was kind of a coin flip game, Drew, as we've mentioned. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention that Michael Neuwirth played a terrific game.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't...
He made some big saves in the first period, some difficult saves, and most of the saves after that were on...
shots he should save.
Right.
But he had to keep them in there for the first period.
And the rebound control was good.
Yeah, very good. There was traffic in front usually, but he kept the rebounds either very close to himself or off to the corner.
And we also didn't mention the 3-on-1 on when Ryan Little had the shot, I believe it was, on the far side. And
that was the best scoring chance for the Jets.
I think it was Dennis Wyman tipped that puck.
It was hard to see on the replay. That was in the first period. That was the best Jets' best scoring chance of the night by far. A 3-on-1, a nifty passing play, again, between the Jets' top line.
Yep.
And if it wasn't either for a dramatic Neuwirth save or Dennis Wyman, it was hard to see from our vantage point. If it wasn't for that, it would have been a 1-0 Jets game in the first period, and who knows what would have happened with a Washington team that, you know, really didn't come into the game with a ton of confidence.
In the big scheme of things, though, before we wind up here, in the big scheme of things, you look at this Washington team and you think to yourself, you know, we've seen a fair amount of teams come through town now. You think to yourself, well, they're not in that top bunch as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we said it earlier in the pregame when the news came out that Chris Pronger is now out for the season, out for the playoffs, out for the regular season, out for the playoffs with severe post-concussion syndrome, symptoms, whatever it might be.
Sure.
The East is wide open for the taking.
It is, especially with Crosby too.
Yeah, I mean Crosby's still out, and I think you're any of us are naive if you say that Crosby's going to be back soon.
I think that the truth is right now with all these injuries, and if these injuries are more permanent than we would hope they are, then I'd say that it's. You have to say Boston's to lose.
Well, Boston's the team that's got the most depth and they're the only ones that don't seem to have any head injuries on their team.
That's right.
But, I mean, it might have been Boston's to lose anyways, for the record.
It might have been. I personally thought it was Pittsburgh's, but I don't think...
An argument could have been made for Boston's same.
And it still could be for both Pittsburgh. For Pittsburgh. But the Crosby loss is significant whether or not he's coming back. I don't expect we'll see him here next Friday.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for the fans, and
that'll be the last time Pittsburgh plays here this year.
This year, and then next year, they'll be here every year. But you know, it's a shame. But we'll talk about that more on Saturday. Obviously, tonight's game was one that we'd probably like to forget.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a dull game, but Saturday's game is going to be the main course to a week of Jets hockey. I mean, if Tuesday was the appetizer and today was the disappointing amuse-bouche, Saturday will be the main course.
That will be, and Solani will, you know, tear the roof off this place, and the fans will have to take the bull by the horns in terms of the cheering. I don't think he's going to have much of a official welcome back by True North, aside from something during the commercial. Scott Brown said that was in the paper today, but the fans will.
Doesn't matter. The fans won't let this game start. It's going to be loud and it's going to be emotional.
And we're very much looking forward to it. So, and also not only that, Drew.
Yeah.
And Slotnick obviously is number 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's a pleasure to watch players like Getzlaf, Perry, and Ryan in person.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We get the coverage kicked off at 12 noon on TSN 1290 on Saturday. We're going to be joined by guests Dan Wood of the Anaheim Ducks broadcast team. He's the color commentator. He's going to be joining us for sure. Other guests will be added in the next couple of days or so. You can follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And, of course, the website is www.IllegalCurve.com. For Richard Pollock and Michael Remus, stay tuned for Jets post-game interviews from both dressing rooms. I'm Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. From our lips to your ears. Good night.
That was part one of the podcast. Now let's head to part two. As always, IC's Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg headed into the team's respective dressing rooms. First up, we have the Winnipeg Jets dressing room. First up, we have the Jets goalie, Andre Pavlich.
Tough loss. Happened. I mean, we made a mistake, but overall, it was a tight game. I think it was a pretty good game. Both teams could win. We could win the game. They took advantage in the last minute and made a good place and scored a goal. So, I have to stay positive. Tomorrow's another day, and Saturday, a big game again. So, tough game, tough loss, but, you know, it's what it is.
Was it the usual pace to the games that we've seen here? Did you feel that way?
Yeah, well, we had a couple of power plays. We couldn't score the goal, but I think we were patient in second, and we just couldn't score. I mean, you know, if you not score, it's tough to win the game. But I think we battled again. I think we played hard. It was a tough game and against a great team, and we almost had to go through overtime. And then we'll see what's going to happen. But we made a mistake, but I mean, one goal game. It was 0-0. You know, could happen in another way. I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, tomorrow's another day, and we have to put it behind.
Can you tell us about the goal, or was it a mistake, or just a great shot?
Well, it was 2-on-2, I think, and they made a play, and you know, good shot through the our defenseman, and go 5-hole. So, good shot, you know. I don't know what else to say. I mean, good shot. He's a good player. We give him the puck, and he took advantage from it. So, great player, make a good place, and he's still a danger guy. He still can score the goal. You know, they score the goal in the right time, and that's what the big players do. No, he won't. I think it went straight through. Yeah, just go. It was a 5-hole to Stewie and 5-hole to me, so tough play, but, you know, what are you going to do?
The next player we'll hear from, his second game back from injury. You know, it's taken me some time to get used to seeing that number 6 on the ice this season. He played 18 minutes and 51 seconds this evening, showing no signs of effects from that injury. Here he is, Ron Hainsey.
Lost a little bit in the third, and a lot of that was us just not playing smart enough with the puck, getting it deep enough, and we gave them some chances to counter on us, and when they can counter, they can make plays, and that's what happened there at the end.
How did you feel out there? You looked like it was one of your better games this year.
Out of all 7 of them or so? Well, all right. Okay. But, you know, it didn't take a little while to get fully up to speed, but I felt all right. You know, they were more in a 1-2-2. We had a lot of chances the first half. I mean, and the power play had 4 chances, and those of us that are on that didn't get it done. So, you know, if you point to something, just the chances in the first, I think we probably had 4, you know, pretty glorious chances, real in tight. And 4 power plays where we really, you know, the last one was pretty disappointing. Obviously, we never really got much set up. We had a little bit better looks early, but, you know, we had the chances on the power play. The penalty kill did the job to get some goals, and we didn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want him shooting from the slot, obviously. You like to keep him to the outside if you can, because obviously he can wire it. So, you know, again, you can't win scoring 0 goals. So, I mean, you know, the last minute or whatever is what it is. But, you know, we had our chances to have a lead in this game in our building. We just didn't do it.
The next player, as Dave tweeted earlier in the evening, was showing great wheels, quote, unquote. I actually thought he had a pretty good game, showed some great speed, skating the puck up the ice, has great vision with 18 assists on the season. You know, for a big guy, really he doesn't play like a big guy at all. But here he is, Blake Wheeler.
This new coach, Dale Hunter, the team seemed to be playing a different style of game than he did under the last coach. Did you notice that?
I wasn't really paying much attention to what they were doing, to be honest. You know, I think we had the momentum for, you know, a good part of the first 2 periods, and they probably all played us the 3rd period, and you know, it just seemed like, you know, they were sitting back pretty good in the 3rd period, and we weren't able to really penetrate, and we kind of stopped skating, and you know, one bad break, and it's in our net, and that's a game.
Was it a frustrating game for especially your line? You created a lot of chances, but just couldn't bury it.
Yeah, you know, we created a lot of chances, but at a certain point in time, you know, I think, you know, you just kind of got to go back to the mill and just take the cue out of it and just throw pucks at the net, and, you know, that's kind of been what we've been doing. We've been getting pucks in the net, and we've had a few good bounces that have ended up on our sticks, and we've been able to put them in the net, but, you know, we had some of those nice plays that just didn't result in goals, and, you know, sometimes that happens, but, you know, we gotta keep pushing because, you know, we can score goals, and we should have scored goals tonight, and, you know, that could have been the difference in the game.
The neutral zone seemed to get both teams' problems. Did it feel like a sloppy game out there?
A little bit. You know, I think, like I said, you know, we were trying to be a little bit too cute. I think early on, you know, we had some good scoring chances. The whole team did. And I think maybe we thought it was going to be a bit of an easy game. And, you know, they picked it up the second half of that first period. And they made it a little bit tougher on us getting into the neutral zone. And I think we did a good job defensively as well. It's just one of those games where both teams maybe weren't doing what they wanted to do in their game plan. And that's kind of why it was a 0-0 game.
Is this still a team you make one mistake against and it costs you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. That's what happened. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can not see a couple guys on their team all game, and they get the puck in the slot, one chance, it's in our net, that's a ball game.
That's all the Jets will hear from. Now we're heading in to the Capitals dressing room with Ezra Ginsberg. He got the shout-out tonight for the Capitals, Michael Neuwehr.
Big stops, and then it was pretty quiet for you after that.
Yeah, I thought we got a little outplayed in the first, but you know, after that, I think we outplayed them. And you know, I think only the big scoring chances went on a power play.
Michael, how confident did you feel? It just looked from the beginning you were absorbing all the shots that you faced and not giving up much.
Yeah, you know, they had a lot of shots early, and it's always nice, and you know. After a couple of saves, I settled down, and you know, like I said, it was a great team effort and huge 2 points for us.
A lot of talk the last couple of days about the goaltending struggle for you guys. Do you have to remind yourself not to put too much pressure on yourself in a situation like that when you're coming in and you know you're under a microscope a little bit here?
Actually, I didn't even know. You know, we were getting chirp or anything like that, so I don't really follow the media, so you know, I just worry about myself and my game, and you know, like I said, it was a great team effort, and we didn't give it much in the third, and that's the way we gotta play every game.
It didn't mean any more to you going up against, say, a guy like Pavlik in the same country as you and fighting zip until the 59th minute of the game?
Oh yeah, you know, it's always special when you playing guy. You know, I used to play against him as a little kid, and we know each other pretty well. And you know, he's a great guy. But you know, I got a little lucky at the end. But you know, he played great and was a great battle.
Thanks, Newby.
Play where Weidman lunged across the net, managed to block, I think, Brian Little's shot.
Yeah, it was a huge save for us. You know, I was a great pass by that guy, and you know, White played pretty well, and you know, he luckily blocked that shot.
It's been a bit of a tough year for you, and especially without consistent starts. But is it nice to build your confidence back up a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's been tough this year, and you know, been a lot of struggle. But you know, this is a huge win for me and for my teammates. And you know, like I said, we play great in the third period, and that's the way we gotta play every game.
Safe to say that you like playing in this building. You obviously had some success when you played for Hershey and played against the Manitoba Moose.
Oh yeah, you know, I love this building. You know, I got a Calder Cup MVP here, so you know, like I said, I love this building, and I'm never gonna forget about when we won the Calder Cup here with Hershey.
This next player, you know, he had some family in the crowd. His second game playing at home, he played 7 minutes and 12 seconds tonight, recording one shot, number 50, Cody Eakin.
So last time you were here, you guys had a loss. How does it feel to get a win?
It's nice. You know, it was a great game. You know, it's close, and, you know, I think it's the way we played is the way we need to win.
Is this exactly the type of road game that you guys wanted based on last game, disappointing loss
games? Yeah, it's, you know, I think every team would be happy with an effort like that out of the guys tonight. And, you know, we're okay with, you know, not, you know, scoring 5 goals a night and just getting the 1-0 win.
Must be nice to also family in the crowd.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it's, I think for on our end, it's a little happier than the outcome was last time. But, you know, I'm not sure how what they think, you know, being obviously from here and being Jets fans.
World Juniors are starting, obviously, playing on the team very recently.
Yep.
Are you going to watch it if you have a chance to watch them?
Yeah, well, of course. I think we got TSN back in Washington, and, you know, you can't not watch that. It's an exciting time of the year, and you know, you got Christmas, and with Christmas comes the World Juniors.
This player is the star of the Capitals, was getting booed whenever he had the puck all night, which has become a tradition here to boo the star player. He scored the game-winning goal for the Capitals, number 8, Alex Ovechkin.
Didn't have a lot of shots at first, but you had the one that counted. What made the difference in that?
Yeah, you know, finally it got through. Actually, I didn't see a puck when I see the only right light, and I said, Jesus, it's in. So it was an important goal for a team, and I'm happy I scored it.
What about winning in this arena? Is that a tough one?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool arena. It's a nice atmosphere here, and, you know, it's a tough building to play. So we're happy we take huge 2 points and, you know, be ready for a Kralak game.
Alex, when you see the kind of game Mike was playing, do you guys feel pressure to support him and finally break through?
Yeah, I think when a goalie makes unbelievable save, it's it give you a little breath, and you know, like he's on fire right now, and he's again, like, he's keeping us in the game, and you know, if we're gonna play like that, you know, we're not gonna score one goal, we're gonna score a bunch of goals. So again, we have lots of opportunity to score, but his goalie play unbelievable as well.
Lastly, he wasn't here last time the Capitals visited Winnipeg, but he was here tonight. Switched up, as Richard said, switched up the system that the Capitals were playing. The head coach, Dale Hunter.
Dale, can you just talk a little bit about Michael Norville, especially his performance in the first?
Yeah, he played really well. You know, they had some we had some breakdowns defensively on our own end, and and he stood tall and, you know, made the big saves. And, you know, he played well tonight.
You guys seemed to turn the tide a little bit in terms of shots, scoring chances, offensive zone, time, puck possession after that. And it seemed like it was going to come down to whoever made the mistake.
Yeah. You know, the game's like that. It was a tight game after that. You know, they in the third period, I thought we were skating very well and played more in their end. But definitely, Michael kept us in the game early and gave us some confidence. And then I thought we played well in the third, and a few penalties. You know, it's in the third, so both of us had a chance, but we didn't. The power play didn't come through, and one play ended up in the net.
How important is a game like this? Not that they didn't disbelieve in your system, but it seems like the system kind of won this one for you.
No, I don't know about the system. You know, it's just they got to read the plays out there, and it's definitely the players that play the game is the ones that decide who wins or loses. And definitely the guys played hard, blocked shots, and did the little things that that it takes to win, and that's why we won tonight. Yeah, we were playing in their end more. I thought we were recycling the puck, and you know, he's a good goalie at both ends, and you know, he played well too. So we had our chances, but he stood tall.
Is this exactly the type of road game that you wanted, low scoring?
Well, you never want it that close. You want, you know, to score more goals, but you know, they're a good team, and they got a good goalie, and we both teams had chances, and finally we solved them late in the third.
And that's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. For Richard Pollock's Twitter, at ICRichieP. For Drew Mandel's Twitter, at ICDrew. For Dave Manuk's Twitter, at ICDave. For Ezra Ginsberg's Twitter, at ICEzzyG. And for Mike Remus's Twitter, at M Remus, that's M-R-E-M-I-S. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game edition. Listen to the show Saturday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on TSN 1290. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.